So amen. Let's pray. Hallelujah. Father, we just in the few minutes that are left here, we just love you. We thank you for showing up. Thank you for showing us how to live in our society. And today, in Jesus' name, we just pray that we hear from you in the areas that we need. Amen. Started a little while ago, enemies of our soul. Our soul is our mind, our will, our emotions, our personality. When you get saved, your spirit gets full of the Holy Spirit, but your soul and your body are made up of three parts. Your soul and body stays unredeemed, and we have to walk through a path to make it look like Jesus. You know, if we're skinny before we get saved, we're skinny after we get saved. If we're overweight before we get saved, we're overweight after we get saved. And so we have to continue working on that. It's the same way with our souls, to continue working on it. And that's where we marry with the Holy Spirit. Why? Because He's not saved us just to redeem us, redeem our spirits. He's wanting us whole. And He has a plan for you. He has a mission for you. He has a goal for you. That's why you're left here on earth. And He'll walk with you through the whole thing. But our soul can be such a great hindrance of getting there. And our soul is used to being Lord. You know, you can be saved and Him not being Lord. I was saved, and 2 years later, He said, "Make me Lord." What does that mean? It's like in the Bible, you might have seen the phrase bondservant. That's actually a very heavy deal. Paul said, "I am a bondservant." A bondservant is this. It is more than just a servant. You can have a servant that comes over and cleans your house, mows your yard, does your dishes. But a bondservant goes further and says this: "I belong to you. My possessions belong to you. My income belongs to you. My schedule belongs to you." Man, that is a death, isn't it? That is a level of walking with the Lord that I'm not sure I need to do more of. But when you do that, He comes along and He molds. And what He wants to do is He wants to mold your mind and your emotions to best match what your spiritual DNA, what He implanted in you before the foundation of the world. We talked a lot about that. There's a plan over you. There's a list over you. And He says, this is where you need to go. And He many times has to line up your body and your soul to best get you to where you need to go. Basic example, but to show you, a lot of people think, well, I just got to be spiritually there. What if you're called to be overseas and go on a lot of missions trips? And you weigh 400 pounds beyond your weight. Yeah, you have to buy two airplane seats. And a lot of these places, there ain't handicapped access. There's not elevators. You follow what I'm saying? I don't want to beat up on that. But that's just one thing. Your body has to be in shape for certain calls. So your soul has to be in shape for certain calls. And so the Lord, we talked about resting. This is what we did this first, right? Because this is where you get the ideas. This is where you get the impartation. And the Lord is trying, He says, be still and know that I'm God. And Corinthians says, work to learn how to rest. And that's what we did at the end of worship, is getting into His presence, hopefully. And you're there, and that's where you hear His voice. That's where you get His plans. That's where you get His ideas. He just wants to do it in rest. And then you'll run like crazy. Go, I don't want to rest my whole life. Believe me, my life, many times I'm going, Holy Spirit, would you please slow down? I'm doing too much. Because when you get to rest, He'll tell you, okay, let's go do this. You go, wow. And it's fun, and you start running. Then you got to rest and get redirect or, you know, modified. So rest. And the second was worry. We talked a whole Sunday on worry. This is a big deal. Worry steals your future, because you're too concerned about the present to get an anointing, to get grace, to get His insight, to have faith, to move forward into the future. Let me say that again. When fear and anxiety come and you meditate on it, you start worrying, that stops you. It keeps you from moving forward. Well, it could get worse if I move forward. And see, the devil's come in and go, ha. He's moved this far, but he's not going to move anymore because I've got him bogged down in the present. And those... we talked about that. Today I want to talk about another enemy of our soul. that the devil brings in a lot of times, and I find it in myself, especially as I get older, and that is regret. The longer you live, I'm 57, the longer you live, you can tend to look back and go, man, I wish I had done this 30 years ago, and my life would be at a different place right now. Or things that happened even maybe before you were saved, man, that was just stupid of me. How foolish was I? And when you start moving out, the Lord brings these things, or the devil brings these things back to you and go, you know, it could happen again. Who are you to think you can do something? Because look what happened way back here. Regret over mistakes we made. And so I want to walk through those. Because this is, again, something that the devil brings to you to keep you from moving forward. And it doesn't matter how old you are, you can finish well. Here's Moses at 40, blows it in Egypt. He got in the flesh. He kills the soldier. If you don't know that story, he was a prince in Egypt. He knew his calling on his life, at least maybe subconsciously. Or a small inkling was to free these people. And when he saw one of the Israelites being beat with a whip, he got mad and killed him. I'm sure regret was coming in. I mean, that wasn't God's way of doing it. And he runs, and he's off for 40 years. Think how much he was taunted by this thing for 40 years. You know, look what you did. You can't make it. You're not going to be a deliverer. Who are you? You're not a prince anymore. You have no powers. You're just out here being a shepherd out on the backside. How many of you feel that same thing? I'm just a shepherd out here on the backside in this job that nobody even notices, in this house that is whatever. And you're just, you know, that you're going, but I feel this calling. It's never going to happen. I blew it 40 years ago. Many of you ever feel that way? At 80, he shows up in a burning bush. Because he was so far into it, he had to get his attention. And at 80, we all think we're going to be dead by then. At 80, he fulfills the calling on his life. So I tell you today there's a burning bush. And we're going to talk about how to handle regrets, because the devil really wants to stop you. And we want to get rid of these hooks that keep you from believing that Jesus is big enough to get through it. First of all, one, is you got to stop beating yourself up. When you're this is the thing. You might not have done it perfectly. You might not have even done it well. You might have even been a jerk. But you know, when Jesus hung on the cross 2,000 years ago, He said, I'm big enough to handle whatever unperfectness that you've done. When you went to the cross and you got saved, I'm telling you, it's the most miraculous event on the planet. It changes everything. See, we're so used to living in the natural, thinking in the natural we got to work it out. Well, there's no way Moses was going to work this thing out. And we start thinking, how are we going to get out of it? I don't know how you're going to get out of it. It's not your job. We take too much responsibility. Repent if you haven't repented. And say, Father, I thank you that when Jesus died on the cross, He is big enough to change this thing. No, I don't believe it. Nobody else around me believes it. My spouse is putting me down. My kids are putting me down. People at work are putting me down. It doesn't matter. He doesn't put you down. He believes in you. Why? Because it's not about you. The reason we beat ourselves up is because we think it's about us. It's about what He can do when you say, help me, Father. And so when that regret starts coming in, it produces fear, it produces hesitancy, and it keeps you mourn to the past, and it's saying, Jesus is not big enough to change my circumstances. And so what it is ends up being is we've got to get out of the narcissistic thing. When you're beating yourself up, you're making it, let's just be blunt, you're making it all about you. And yes, in you, you can't do it. But reverse that thing and say, I have no hope. I cannot get there, but I walk with somebody that is not going to stay here. And as I walk with Him and link my arms in Him, He's going to move forward, even if He has to drag me forward. I'm going to drag forward, and I'm going to believe Him. And as Moses blew it, He can walk with you. Think what the Apostle Paul had to walk through. My goodness, he was. We don't quite know how old he was when he started. When he was on the road to Damascus, he was somewhere north of 30 because he was a member of the Sanhedrin. And you have to be, which was the religious group, he had to be at least 30. This guy hunted down followers of Jesus and murdered them and then bragged about it, thinking he was doing God something good. And then God interrupts him and grabs his attention and then puts him in isolation and training because it's not so much what he had to learn, what he had to unlearn. For 17 years. And he finally released it. And then when he started ministering, people ran. This is the guy that kills you. Don't you think he had probably the devil would try to attack him with regret? And he's done worse deeds than I think anybody is in here has done that I know of. The Father, this is the thing. The Father picks people. And he loves to use them who have been failures in the natural. Now, you don't fail to walk with them. But this is his specialty. He loves taking people who the world has written them off. This church is... We've got a lot of people here, including myself, that the world has written off. They're... Man, we're not even anything like we were 10 years ago because of the grace of God and people believing in Him and the Lord believing in Him. Just take His hands and say, I don't understand and I'm having trouble believing that You're big enough to do this. And walk with Him, live close, as the tagline of our relationship church says, and you'll see where He takes you. But you have to stop beating yourself up. There's this fine line here about pulling up your bootstraps and moving forward and believing God and learning to relax. This is my motto. I don't know if I can give you practical implications for it, except just each time remember it. Never take yourself seriously. Learn to relax. But take God seriously. Now, we're not flipping about sin. We're not flipping about mistakes. But most of the mistakes we make after you've been walking with the Lord for a little while is just because we simply didn't know any better. Right? The devil constantly tempts me with trying to be a failure of something that happened 30 years ago, which is just, that makes sense to get into it right now. And I go, man, I wish I could have changed this one thing. But you know, I did the best I knew how at the time. It wasn't conscious. I look back and go, wisdom said I should have done this. This is the thing. We are a work in progress. And as soon as we realize it, it takes some of the pressure off of us. We need to... Now, I'm not talking about people that are just not following God or openly in sin. But most of us, if you take God seriously and follow Him, when something happens, just say, I did the best I knew how. I'm a work in progress. I'm like a painter who's painting a picture. He doesn't finish it in 5 minutes. It might be 5 days or 5 weeks. And if you come in the middle of it, you go, what is that thing going to be? We're pictures that God's painting. And He's going to finish it before the end. And when we went, and He's going to, and we're going to go, wow, I never knew I could look that way. Let me tell you this. God is not embarrassed by whatever your regret is. Whatever the thing that tends to hold you back, that you won't share with people, maybe you should share, maybe you shouldn't. Let me tell you this. God is just not embarrassed by it. We're afraid to go to God sometimes thinking He's going to be embarrassed by it. Use whatever regret that you may have and let it teach you about the love of God in a deeper way than you've ever experienced. You know, it's great to go to God when you've done something and you feel proud. And that's cool. I like going there and you get the Father's approval. But you know, it's also great when you regret, you go and you see that He responds to you in the same way. He's not uptight. He doesn't go, wow, where did that come from? You caught me off guard. His love from 2,000 years ago, really from the foundation of the world, already covers it. And when you make a mistake, it's just like a four-year-old. If they come and they screw up and do something, they don't want to go see their father, what do? And they come and admit it, just say, hey, it's going to be all right. Let's learn from this. And there is a learning process. Learn from it, because that's how you get wise, so you don't do it again. Say, Father, what could I have done better? Let me learn from this. But don't get under the pile and condemned. Think of it as being in a training program. There's many truck drivers here. How many? Let me find one. There's Chuck back here. Have you always, when you were learning, drove that truck right the first time? We know it's an obvious question. Nobody's that good. Especially on backing it up. I imagine that was a challenge. You had to learn somewhere. Tony's a truck driver. I don't know where your husband is, but we got four or five around here. Jeff. Well, if they were a good trainer, they didn't yell at you. They just said, okay, that's a start. Now let's try it this way. And you kept working at it. But when we come to our Christianity, I've messed up. Condemnation starts coming in. That's the devil. The Lord loves walking with you in your training. And it's not sin when you're doing the best that you know how. Well, I made a mistake. Yeah, but that doesn't mean it's sin. You try anything new, you're going to make a mistake. We need to learn to relax. Now, I'm not talking about, sin. This is the difference. Y'all, are y'all tracking me today? Sin is this. I know what you said, and I ain't going to do it. Or I want to do what I want to do. Or I know it's wrong, but I'm still going to do it. Training is this. I'm doing the best I know how. I'm following God the best I know how. That's training. That's not sin. Did you make a mistake? Yeah, but it's not sin. And you go, Father, help me to get better at this. This is how you get wise. And so when that regret starts coming in, you have got to stop beating yourself up. Why? Because you're making it about you. Many years ago, when I was trying to learn this, and not that it's not an ongoing process, when I sinned, I would do the 1 John 1:9, confess your sins, and He is faithful and just to forgive us your sins. And then it would be about 2 to 3 days before I felt like I was close to the Lord. And the Lord said, you've got a real workaholic performance mentality. Said, I forgot about it. I threw your sins as far as the east is from the west when you forgave it. And then for 3 days, you were trying to work off your own guilt and condemnation. He said, you need to work on it that when you confess something as sin, you act like it never happened because it's under the blood. And I know there may be physical consequences, but you come into my presence then and by faith till you feel it, act like nothing has ever happened, because that's how I am with you. Man, that's powerful. And so the regret, the devil just wants to keep you mired down with that. Let me say this, because I want to pray over you. Many people, I've ministered to many people over the years, and they say, because of this, 40 years ago, I can't fulfill my calling. That is a lie from the pit of hell. Well, it's so many years gone by. Yeah, probably has. You might have wasted 40 years, but the Lord can redeem in the last years of your life because He's that big. And it's better to believe that He can redeem the last part of these years of your life than die and blame something 40 years ago. And He's going to get to, you're going to get to heaven and He goes, why didn't you do it? Because of this mistake. I guess the cross just wasn't big enough to cover that sin. I guess my cross wasn't big enough to cover that regret. And it's going to be too late then. I'm telling you, there is a part we play. There's the sovereignty, and there's the sovereignty of God. And as Jan so often says, where free will and sovereignty mix, who knows how it all comes together. But you do need both. And so I'm telling you today, He loves us who we are, where we are. And in our mistakes And in our regret, He'll come alongside and you'll experience His love and forgiveness that will humble you like you can't experience it any other way. When the God accepts you unconditionally and says, "Let's go, son. Let's go, daughter. Don't let the devil put this hook in your soul anymore." And so I want to pray over you, because many people are shame and condemnation keeps them from moving forward. And frankly, a lot of times the religious community puts it there, and that makes it even more powerful. A lot of times there's condemnation. There's encouragement. Hopefully we do encouragement, kick in the pants sometimes, but not condemnation. Because condemnation puts it too much about you instead of saying, "Listen, your God's big enough. You need to start believing. And if I give kicks in the pants, it's like, get out of yourself and run to Him." Because if you're waiting on you to feel it, you'll never feel it. But I'm here to tell you, shame is not of Him. Guilt is not of Him. Condemnation is not of Him. And it's a hook that when you start moving, He pulls the hook and it hurts. And if there's memories in your life that hurt, that means there's a fish hook still there. You never forget the memories, or it's very rarely, but the pain of the memories can come, can go. And it's that pain when you start moving, you feel that thing pull back. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Who are you? What are you? Yeah, I'm not much, but I walk with a guy that's moving. Before we pray, here's this example. Hopefully most of you know the story of the prodigal son. Prodigal means wayward, gone, awry. He grew up in a great family. He had an older brother. Evidently the dad was pretty rich. And he said, "I want my inheritance now. Let me take half of it." And went off and spent it on sinful living. What does it say there? Have you ever read that story about how the father reacted to him? Did he badmouth them? Did he gossip them? Did he go find them and beat the tar out of them, as we say in the South? He said he stood at the boundary of his land. That means he went as far as he could without getting into sin. He wasn't going to do the behavior, but it says daily he went over there and stood at the boundary of the land, because he goes, "I miss the relationship." And he looked for him. Man, he does that same thing for us. And it says at the end that the prodigal son wouldn't even come back home because he had totally messed up his life. He was in shame and he was in guilt. And the Bible never said that what he did was right. I mean, it agreed that it was wrong. He wasted the money. He probably didn't have an inheritance for the rest of his life. He just had to work. There are consequences to that kind of thing. But look what happens when he came back. Did he get a beating? How many of us think when we go to God, "I've done this, He's going to beat me over the head. And He's going to, you know, cuss me out." I mean, we think that way, don't we? I don't want to go into His presence because I don't want a disappointment. What does it say? When he saw his son coming from afar, he was excited. Why? Because he values the relationship more than what you do. And he knows that he's strong enough to pull you forward, to get you out of that guilt and shame. And when he got to his boundary, what did he do? He put on a robe of righteousness. He didn't deserve it, did he? We don't deserve it. But when you have a shame or regret, immediately go to the Father and say, "Father, I feel shamed. I feel guilt. I feel regret. Take this off of me. And put on a robe of righteousness." That means, what does that mean? That means He sees you as right, even though you didn't do anything for it. He sees you as right, and He puts it on you, because you can't put it on yourself. And some people are so caught up into this, they won't accept it. I've counseled many Christians, they left just the same way, because they couldn't accept the free gift. Do you realize, let's just be blunt, that's selfishness in saying, "You know better than He does. He wants to give you a free gift. Yes, you don't deserve it." And it's not about that. It's about Him appearing to the world and appearing to the second heaven and the demonics. Look at that God. He just blessed them. That's not about, it's not about your nature, it's about His nature.
Amen.
And it's about us going, wow, I am so grateful to Him. And so, I'm just so in love with Him. I'll do anything for Him. Because He pulls me out of the pig trough. Gives me a robe of righteousness, gave me a ring. Ring symbolized authority. And shod my feet, which means, you know, I'm walking with certain privileges and certain blessings. Let's stand. So, Father, today, if any of you are battling with regret or shame and with condemnation, we're just going to walk you through a simple prayer. It's just a simple prayer. Then you take it by faith and go. Feelings, listen to me. Most people get hung up by their feelings. Feelings are in your soul, what I called emotions earlier. Your emotions can be up right now. You may be on cloud nine. That doesn't mean you're any closer to God. If I come over and punch you in the ribs, your emotions are not going to be on cloud nine. See, it's based on the outside. And then you'll probably punch me. But either way, and then my emotions won't be there. You can't go on feelings. You go on what He says about you. And you have to learn to compartmentalize these little things. And I know it's harder for some people than others, and say, it doesn't matter how I feel. That's irrelevant. One day they'll line up with fact. That phrase, fake it till you make it. Well, you don't have to fake it. It's the truth. But with your emotions, you can sort of take the analogy there. You can say, hey, I feel terrible, but I'm not stopping. I feel terrible, but they will go away, because what's on the inside of me is the truth. And that's the part of redeeming your emotions and redeeming your soul. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray over every person here that may be struggling with regret, that has a hook in their life, or shame. Maybe they didn't do it perfect. It might have even been wrong what they did. But right now, if we haven't done so, we give this event or events to You. And we say, Father, we repent of anything we did wrong. And we put it in Your hands. And we say, Romans calls all things to work together for good to those who love the Lord. We put these things in Your hands. We acknowledge them. There's some freedom there when we acknowledge things. We acknowledge them. Maybe even we need to tell somebody else, it doesn't matter, to get the power of it over our lives off. But in Jesus' name, we put it into Your hands. And we say, Your love is big enough. Your blood is big enough. Your sacrifice is big enough. And this may even be a testimony down the road. I did this, but God in His grace had mercy on me. And He took it, and He allowed me to go forward anyway, like Paul and like Moses. And I'm so thankful. And Father, right now, we rebuke condemnation. It's from the devil. We rebuke condemnation. We rebuke, just if you've been there, you just say it. Father, I rebuke guilt. I rebuke shame. And as James 4:7 says, submit yourself therefore to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. That when this thing starts coming back, we can't keep the thoughts from coming in. We say, Father, I'm Yours, and I rebuke these thoughts, and I'm not going to visit them. I'm not going to allow myself to be beat up over this thing. That Father, I'm not hiding it, but I put it under the blood. And Lord, free me. Give me freedom. I don't like being in bondage to this thing, to these thoughts, to these regrets. Change it with Your miracle working power. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We love You guys.